All right. We're here. Are we here? Am I on with you guys?
Yep.
Okay. I'm afraid of making that first mistake I did a couple of weeks ago. welcome. This is Self-Care Before Sit-Ups, week 4. We are moving right along with our sessions. And I would like to hear what your successes have been. So if you wouldn't mind sharing, what's been happening? Who would like to go first?
Are you still there?
Yep.
Okay. My phone's doing weird things. I'm at work today. So.
Okay. How about you, Stacey? What successes have you noticed?
I got my tolerations list kind of started and not completely done. So that felt good to get through some of that and through some of the additional reading material. Worked out a couple days this week, so I felt pretty good about getting back on track doing that. And struggling with the food thing. So.
Okay.
Because we tend to eat out probably more often maybe than we should and stuff like that. And sometimes it's hard to always pick the thing that you think is good, but it turns out not to be so good. So.
Okay. All right. How about you, Yvonne?
I got out in the woods and did the snowshoeing, which every time I'm out there, I'm like, why do I forget how fun this is? So that was fun to do. Working on the tolerations list and really dug into some closets this week. Also read an article on clutter and weight, and I'm really convinced that there's a connection there. So I'm having fun clearing out stuff.
Can you share with me what you feel the connection between clutter and weight? What insights are you gaining?
As I read the article, one of the words that came up was clutter can make you feel overwhelmed, and sometimes when we're overwhelmed, we eat more than we should, which makes us feel out of control, which makes us eat even more. I mean, it's kind of the layering on, where when you let go of stuff and clear your space, you feel better about being in that space, and you can, you know, move on to other things. And I think there's some correlation for me in that letting go of extra stuff, you know, clears my space. I feel better sitting at my desk. I feel better when I walk into the, you know, the entrance room where it was just, you know, the coats and the boots and all that stuff. And I don't know. It ties into feelings. And if you feel mm-hmm. better about what you're around, you're less likely to comfort yourself with food.
Wonderful insights you're gaining within yourself, Yvonne. There is that connection. You may have related then to the story I shared last week about the woman who kind of worked and ate to avoid and felt that overwhelm and avoid the clutter. And how that just kind of kept that whole propel, what you're feeling, overwhelmed, eat more, work more, avoid, and then you just don't feel comfortable. So wonderful insights that you're finding within yourself in finding that. And so how are you looking at your closets now?
Oh, I love it. I mean, I love opening up. And, you know, before it used to be the fight to get to the vacuum cleaner, and now it's like right there.
Wonderful. Anything else?
Well, I had emailed you, and I still think this is funny. As I'm getting my root canal, I'm practicing meditation. I thought, I can't do much else. Let's see if it works here.
It does. I have to share, too, I think it was last week where I was doing yoga, and I was in a new pose that I haven't been in, and it felt really uncomfortable. And I was like, I found a focal point, and I worked on my breathing. I worked on letting go and relaxing. I was like, well, this is what I got to remember to do this when I'm in labor.
The pose is probably easier, Amy.
Yeah, the pose, I think, was, but it was a good reminder of what to do when you're this uncomfortable and to relax the body and let it go into ease. So anyways, I share a little personal note of myself, too. Oh, wonderful. Thank you, ladies, for sharing and gaining insights and, you know, working on things within yourself, because that's where it all starts, is from within. So I'd like to recap the past three weeks. We have taken a look at what our core values are and if what we are spending our time on matches these core values. The time we spend during our days relate to our authentic self, or do we lead to a life of action values doing out of obligations, old belief systems that no longer serve us? We next took a look at our balance wheel to get an actual visual to see where we are spending time on the most important aspects of our life. How balanced or unbalanced we are. Does our wheel crumble all the time, or is it well-oiled? It allows us to look, take a close look at the big picture. This allows us to look at the big picture, the overall, rather getting caught up in one aspect of our life and seeing like that seems to overtake our life, but we have this visual to look at the bigger picture. And then moving into the why. Why is it that the bigger why of what we want? We then moved last week into the clutter phase, the tolerations, to weed out what is not serving us in our outer environment and within ourselves. And I loved Yvonne's thought of the outer environment, such as the closets and looking at everything, how it affected within ourselves and feelings and how it made a connection within. And then from made that connection within, how it then perpetuated into eating more, feeling out of control, then we eat more. And so how that all comes in, our outer environment affects our inner environment within ourselves. We focused on reducing clutter to create space in our lives to allow what we want to come into our lives. So the new changes we are making within ourselves, there is space and room to come in and take form for what we want. So this leads today's talk actually into goal setting. I'm going to kind of move away from the sequence of the ebook and go towards the last chapter and pretty much the last page of that chapter on goal setting. Our authentic goals are based on our big picture, and we've been looking at what that big picture is, and they become in alignment with our core values. So our authentic goals are based on our big picture. They become in alignment with our core values. Healthy goals are authentic goals based on who we are internally. They inspire us and motivate us. The goal is in line with our integrity, and therefore external motivations is needed less and less when we get to this point. Unhealthy goals are from the external world, outside of us, and they take energy away from us, which eventually leads us to feel a sense of frustration, anxiety, or depression. This also is a form of clutter, very draining. So think back when you were on a diet or tried to exercise and lose weight for a wedding, a cruise, a class reunion, for the outer environment purposes, for others, so that we look good. It was very draining, probably hard, tiring, and you probably became a cranky mom, wife, or friend over it all. You know, how many times maybe as our husband or children or friends quietly sighed when you finally were off your diet? And that is a lot of clutter, and it's because unhealthy goals from our outer world. The purpose of the goal setting is to measure success, bring focus, as well as putting our energy towards something that is based on who we are, what we want, and articulates a vision for ourselves, the big picture. Goals brings us awareness and helps us identify, if we're looking, patterns and habits throughout our day that are conscious and unconscious. By writing out our goals and being crystal clear of what we want, they help us craft our time and apply new habits to aim to achieve these life-giving goals. And by decluttering, we create that time and space to open up for the actions needed, the habits and patterns needed to achieving these life-giving goals. If we are at a place of being stressed, overwhelmed, we need to take a look at this pattern. This is life draining, clutter, and therefore will direct us away from our goal. Such as Yvonne sharing that it directed her to eat more, which then pulls you away from the overall goal. This past month, we've been looking at ways to let go of things that drain you to now allow you to create space for new growth. If we keep in the extreme obligation realm, can't say no realm, overwhelmed realm, we have so much then being taken away from us, we lose focus and go into reaction mode and push against the very thing we want. We then lose focus. I think, Stacy, you emailed me about work becoming overwhelming and getting busier and busier and how you were losing focus.
Mm-hmm.
And looking at that, of the patterns that you create within that yourself that make lead to something. Sometimes we think we lose control and it's out of our hands and we just have to get those deadlines in. And that may be the case in some instances, but also be consciously thinking of what was my responsibility in creating this? And how can I help myself so I'm not overwhelmed and cluttered with the constant catching up or the constant meeting these criterias to reach these deadlines, which then takes us away from our focus of internal well-being and peace and life-giving. Does that make sense to you?
It does. It's just a matter of now trying to put it how to implement it.
Implement it, yes.
You know, that's
but
my,
first
that's
you
my
have
struggle,
to become
yeah.
First you have to become aware.
Mm-hmm.
And aware in a different way. Like, yeah, I know I'm busy. I know I didn't get the workouts that I wanted, and now I know I'm eating out more because it probably saves time, you know, or whatever the reasons may be. But now that you've become aware of what those patterns and habits are putting forth and draining, now you can start looking at how do I implement different changes. Our environment we create always pulls us forward. It will always pull us forward, yin or yang. It will reflect who we are internally. So instead of pushing against our current habits and patterns we're using, how would we use our environment to move us forward in the direction of our authentic self? That's the question. And I keep reading about energy flows where attention goes. So this is a great example of that. Where are we losing energy? Again, going into the clutter talk, this may be a sign you may need to eliminate something that isn't working for you and replace it with something that does. So then this leads to making your goal challenging. You are to state your goal in a positive form that inspires and motivates you and gives you direction towards your desired outcome. See it all the way through to the other side, so that it is calling you towards it. So let's take a step back and ask ourselves, have we ever written our goals down, made clear, definable goals? Most people never decide exactly what they want, let alone see it all the way through. Some people give their goals a fleeting thought, but most never give it specific and commit to their goals, their dreams, and then commit it to writing it down. Most people, mentions Dennis Whiteley, author of The Psychology of Winning, spend more time planning a party, studying the newspaper, or making a Christmas list than they do planning their lives. According to Zig Ziglar, an expert on goal setting and one of the nation's most respected motivational speakers, only 3% of Americans have actually taken the time and effort necessary to put their goals to paper. And this is very unfortunate because the number one reason for failure and losing weight and achieving a healthy body is we lose focus. And there is lack of clearly defined written goals. When we have that in front of us, it keeps us focused. It's a constant reminder of what to do that would propel us forward. Ziegler compares the not having goals to shooting at a target with a blindfold on. How could you possibly hit a target you cannot even see? Says Zig. If you don't know where you're going, you're probably not going to end up anywhere other than frustration, overwhelm, and angry, depressed. Action without planning is the number one cause of failure. Going back to the purpose of the goal is to measure success, bring focus, put energy towards what aligns with your core being based on who you are, what you want, and the vision for yourself. Is it all coming together for you two? Mm-hmm. And for the people that are listening to the recording? So moving on to the power of focus. because of the way our subconscious mind works, extremely important for you to focus all your thoughts on what you want to achieve, not what you want to avoid. There is a difference. This is not mere semantics. It's a very important distinction. An example I can bring to you that is a funny study that I've teach in my intuitive eating classes is of a study on six-year-olds. They had each kid, one at a time, go into this one room all by themselves, and this one room had all sorts of great goodies to eat. Cake, ice cream, every single candy you could possibly think of, pies, all their favorites. And they said to each child, you can have anything you want and as much as you want in this room, except you can't have those carrots over there on the green plate. Do you know what the results showed?
Took it on the green.
9 out of 10 kids ate the carrots on the green plate. So you can't not think about something. If it's brought to your attention, you're going to think about it. You either think about something or you don't. And you always move towards what you think about the most, regardless of whether it's positive or negative. So, you know, how exactly, Stacy, I'm going to bring it up, how you ate out and you said the word should and or shouldn't eat, I should have had that, I shouldn't have had that, and you're judging that food, thinking what you should. Well, when you think of what you shouldn't have, you're more than likely to want to feel deprivation and want to go and naturally grasp towards that food because your attention is all on what you shouldn't have.
Shouldn't have.
So in the intuitive eating, which we will be getting into in the next couple weeks, we'll be letting go of judgment of food and focusing on what do you want. What do you want? If you want the chocolate cake for dessert at the end of this delicious meal, go ahead and have it. Because you'll notice that this a few bites will be enough. And you also, what I will teach, is when you're having the meal, to always make room for that meal so that for the chocolate chip cake or the chocolate cake. The prime example with my kids is, hey, kids, tonight Mom made a dessert. So I want you to know, so make sure you have room in your tummies for the dessert. Because how many times of our children have we said, you can't have this until you clean your plates? And they will stuff themselves galore just to have that dessert. So a lot of it is psychology. A lot of it's mental. And a lot of it is if you try to avoid something, you're more than likely causing yourself to be more agitated and wanting it more and more. As a metaphysical writer, Louise Hayes reminds us, the more you dwell on what you don't want, the more of it you create. So another example is, how many times have we said to ourselves, I can't, this isn't working, I'll never lose the weight, my metabolism is too slow, why can't everyone else do this except me? I don't have the willpower to lose the weight. I hate to exercise. I hate cardio. I look fat in these jeans. I hate the way I look today. I'll always be fat. Do some of these words, phrases sound familiar to you?
You've been in my brain for the last 2 weeks.
And if that is the case, then we're going to attract all of what we don't want when we have these. So we need to pay attention about the mental conversations we have with ourselves. That's why it's so important for you to take conscious control over our mental dialogue and program your brain with positive goals, positive thoughts. I've been practicing this all the time. Once I go into a negative, I go, cancel. And I let it go, and I move right into a positive. But it takes focus, and it takes effort, and it doesn't come easily at first. But, you know, just sometimes I get in that down phase, and I'm like, okay, stop, cancel, let's move on, or next or something, a power word that moves you on. And we'll be going over more specifics of this thought process and how our thoughts propel us to actions that may serve us or may not serve us in the upcoming weeks. But I want you, it's important for me right now to bring it to your awareness So start paying attention to your thoughts, and when you're writing your goals, they need to be life-giving versus life-depleting, to bring towards versus avoid. So how do we put life-giving, positive energy, inspirational goals, directional goals together? There are five specifics to the writing our goals, and I call them the SMART goals. S-M-A-R-T. S stands for specific. Your goals need to be specific. They have to have a more powerful impact on your subconscious than general goals. A vague goal is getting in your car with the thought of going west. You may head the car in the right general direction, but without a specific destination, it will probably get lost somewhere out on the road and the highway, and you're on empty. Okay? The gas tank feels empty. So narrow it down, be specific, right down to the digit. M stands for measurable. Set measurable goals. You must have a way to objectively measure your progress, otherwise you'll never know whether you're actually reached the goal or not. The ideal method is to measure your progress when losing weight is body composition testing. Body fat can be easily measured with a skinfold test. The reason I say this is that that scale will never show the difference between how much body fat you're losing and how much muscle you're gaining. I don't know how many clients I have had that have not lost a single pound but will drop dress sizes or see a transformation in their body. But they will go by that scale and go, why can't I lose weight? And I'm like, but you just told me you dropped 2 dress sizes. You know, let go of what the scale says and get clear on what objective feedback you can get that is more truthful of what's going on in your body. And body composition test does that. So an example would be a client of mine lost, never scale never changed, and she lost 10 pounds of body fat, gained 10 pounds of muscle. Scale never changed, but her dress size did. If your goal is to lower blood pressure, start taking your blood pressure periodically to get those measurements to show that you're going down. Then if you're periodically going down and it's being consistent, and you're getting to that healthy blood pressure, then maybe you can go back to your doctor with your documentation and say, hey, can we cut the blood pressure medication by half or eliminate it? If it's to increase bone density, if you have a history of osteoporosis in your family, get a bone density test first, get a baseline, and then periodically check to see your progress. So things need to be measurable to know that you're going in the right direction. Does that make sense?
Yes.
I'm hoping I'm hearing a yes.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. A stands for attainable goals. When you're setting your goals, do not be afraid to think big. Set your sights high. Decide what you really want that excites you and gives you that internal glow when you picture yourself in your mind has already achieved it. It might be even a little bit scary, and that's okay. Remember what I said about seeing it all the way through? This is the time to call it towards you. Make your vision clear, vivid, and dynamic. Dream, fantasize. You have been given the ability to imagine. Use your imagination. Use it. It's the starting point of a new self-image and lasting change. But isn't that exciting?
Mm-hmm.
When you start thinking about it, whenever I get down on myself and my thoughts lead to more negative side, more of what I can't do, what's not going right, more frustration, I play the what-up game. Instead of, I'll never lose this weight, this is too hard, ugh, what if I said, what would it be like if I did lose all this weight? I would be strong, firm, full of energy. People would notice and be asking me what I did. I could go sailing, hiking, go on a cruise and not be tired, wear that sleek bathing suit that I've always wanted to wear. You just keep going higher and higher and higher. So then you get out of the feeling of frustration and overwhelmed to feeling of positive frame of mind, excitement, rather than negative. And this will pull you back into focus, to feeling good, and to the feel that, hey, wait a minute, this goal is attainable. So you can always play the what-if game, but make sure it's attainable. But go for what you want. Because what you want may take a year or two, but you always can make smaller goals to get there. Another example is if you want to go to Las Vegas, you just don't get in the car and go. You have a sense of direction. you might want to first get to Denver, Fort Collins, then Denver, then, you know, the next town, Grand Junction, and then you might move down and finally get to Las Vegas. So you always have to make the smaller goals to get to the final destination. Because if you don't know where your smaller goals are, you might end up going down to Dallas, back up to Oklahoma City, then over to Albuquerque, then finally to Las Vegas. Do you see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So have specific, attainable, measurable goals. Then this goes next to reasonable. R stands for reasonable. Okay, losing 30 pounds in 30 days that these ads keep saying is not a reasonable goal. The American College of Sports Medicine, the largest and most respected health and medical exercise organization in the world, has established guidelines for healthy weight loss. In their position statement, they say proper and improper weight loss programs, they recommend a weight loss goal of 1 to 2 pounds per week. In terms of body fat, that translates to about 0.5% per week. For us women, that may be really slow. Check in with your impatient thoughts and feelings and move beyond that. When losing weight, especially fat, and this is really what we want, 2 pounds a week is great. You're more likely to keep it off rather than put it back at this rate. Now, is it possible to lose more than 2 pounds a week? Yes, but if you do, mostly it'll probably be water and muscle. So as soon as you hydrate the body, guess what? The weight comes back on. So be realistic with your time frames for achieving the goal that is right for you. Okay? And T stands for time orientated. When? So if your goal is, I want to be in the best shape of my life, when? 10 years from now? 10 months from now? 10 days from now? No, put a time frame on it. Put a date on it. This brings it to the present and keeps you focused. Now what happens when the date comes and you haven't quite reached it? Don't worry about it. Just change the date. Doesn't mean the goal was wrong or that you will never achieve it. All you have to do is just change the date. Change the time frame. So let's focus on practicing a goal. So I use the example, I want to get in the best shape of my life. Okay, it's undone. It's not, you can't see it through, like I talked about, because you don't know what the best shape of your life looks like. You need to be specific on that. You need to be measurable, attainable, reasonable, and by when. So start the goal by writing a deadline at the top. So by, you know, August 14th, 2008, or whatever your deadline is, or March 14th, 2009, doesn't matter, whatever it is. This is the only part of your goal that is written in the future tense and only to keep you focused and present. It's not part of your actual goal statement. All goals must have deadlines because if we go back to what I spoke on about filling space, it allows you to create space, time and space for what will serve you rather than deplete you. If you don't stay focused, you're going to fill it up with needless things that aren't going to propel you forward. Two, next, begin your goal affirmation statement by writing in the personal tense, I. I'm going to go back to chapter one, I am. Continue writing goal in the present tense, I am, and then bring a positive emotion, so happy. Then write it with gratitude and thankful. And give added emphasis to the personal and present tense. I am so happy and thankful now that I am. Finish by filling in the blank with a goal. The goal must be stated in positive. In other words, you must write what you want to achieve, not what you want to avoid. I want to lose 20 pounds of fat is a goal that moves you away from life-giving energy. We don't ever want to lose something or stop anything. We want to always put it in a frame of mind of moving towards something, positive energy. A lot of this has to do with the psychology of the brain and how we move through life with our dominant thoughts. So be clear and specific as possible in what you want to achieve. When you read your goal, it should be a picture should pop in your mind of what that would be like for you. For example, if your goal is to wear a size 10, reach your goal of 145 pounds and fit in beautifully in your sexy black dress you bought for your 15-year anniversary, your goal would be something like this. By August 15th, 2008, colon. I am so happy and thankful now that I am a healthy size 10 living in a lean and strong 145-pound body frame. My beautiful, sexy black dress fits perfectly on my, use an adjective, body, whatever you want to put in there. All the while waking up 4 mornings a week at 6 to fit in my healthy breakfast and workout before my family is up for the day. Wow. That is specific, measurable, attainable. Is it reasonable to wake up 4 mornings at 6? For some, maybe. For some, not. Maybe it's 4 in the afternoon after work, whatever it may be. And is it a time frame? Does this all make sense to you?
Yes. Yes, it does.
It does?
It sounds positive.
It's positive.
Yes.
It's not taking away, not avoiding, or moving from. So give me some examples that we could use, and it doesn't have to be just like this, but I wanted to put into where you're using emotion, adjectives, moving from. As you said, I didn't say I want to drop 2 sizes and lose 30 pounds. Okay, how does that feel? Take a moment and just think about it. I would love to drop 2 pounds and lose 30 pounds, or whatever it is you want. Does anyone want to share what they initially want? If there's a weight pound that they want to lose, or?
I want to lose 60 pounds.
How much?
60.
60 pounds?
60. Yes.
Okay.
Okay, Yvonne, we're on the same page because that's exactly my goal, too.
Okay. So, Stacey, you're the same thing? Did I understand
yep.
that right? Okay. So, what would a healthy size be at 60 pounds? You don't have to put a dress size, but if you wanted to.
I'm guessing probably about a size 10.
Size 10?
8 or a 10, somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm. 8 or a 10. Okay. So, healthy size, you need to make the decision, 8 or 10.
I'm not sure which it is.
Okay, so then let's just say 10.
I was there, it was, okay.
Let's just say 10.
Okay.
Okay, living in, and then use your own adjectives. I use lean and strong. What words would you like?
That sounds great to me. fit and trim.
Okay. Stacey, how about yours?
Mine would be like a lean, I'd say lean and fit.
Lean and fit, okay. So you can think about it. I'm putting you on the spot here, but lean and fit.
No.
So size 10, you know, lean and fit, fit and trim. And then what would your weight be with 60 pounds lost?
Give me
a range.
What was my what?
Okay, if you want to lose 60 pounds, what would your weight be if you did lose the 60 pounds?
It would be 140.
140?
140.
Okay. So then it would be lean and strong, 140-pound body frame. And you can put 145, you know, body. It doesn't have to be body frame. It could be some other adjectives. Okay. Then I used my beautiful, sexy black dress that fits perfectly on my body. There, I want you guys to fill out another specific for yourself. It doesn't need to be clothes-orientated. It can be, but it doesn't need to be. I just am using it as an example. What else would you want? I'm just going to scroll down here and see if I can find some. Example.
A great bathing suit.
Cool. What did I saw?
That looks fabulous.
Oh, here's one goal. I fit perfectly into a slinky black suit I bought this summer, and I'm wearing it at work. Okay. My spaghetti strap flowered summer dress for the summer of 2000 and whatever fits me perfectly, and I'm wearing it during my winter vacation in the Caribbean. Those are just examples of, you know, what you can put in to that sense. I strive to constantly improve my body and optimize my genetic potential. I'm grateful and proud of how good I look today. So it could be anything.
Mine would be more of, I have a vision of being in some type of a, again, strapless type dress for my 21st wedding anniversary on August 1st.
Okay, there you go. That's what you would put in there then.
Okay.
Use some adjectives, some emotion in there. Okay, then how are you going to do this? So let's get some specifics. And right here I wrote, all the while waking up 4 mornings a week at 6 to fit in a healthy breakfast and workout before my family wakes up for the day.
And I actually started doing that again this week.
Okay, so write it in your goal.
And you said it has to be specific, because sometimes mine's morning, sometimes mine's night.
Okay, so then you could just write 4 days a week.
Okay, and that's what I had down here. All the while, I commit to working out a minimum of 4 days.
I don't know if I would put minimum in there.
Minimum? No, okay.
I think I would make it very specific and say 4 days.
Okay, working out.
Or you could put 4 to 6.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I'm striving to get up to 5, actually.
Okay, so then you would put 4 to 5 or 3 to 5 or whatever you're at.
Okay.
And when you get there, change your goal to 5.
Okay.
Okay.
Once you get there, you're moving forward, and you get there, and it's being consistent. Change it to 5. Rewrite it.
Okay.
And put it in there. And add a little bit more other than I'm working 4 days a week, 4 to 5 days, 4 to 6 days a week. I would put something in there about good nutrition, healthy choices.
And making, making healthy food choices.
Always, that honor my body. Okay, now does this excite you to see that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, feels a little different to write it down. than just to actually think it, and you think it, and then sometimes your brain gets sidetracked, and it's like, oh, yeah, I forgot what I was thinking or how I could put it, but now if it's in front of you.
It makes a difference, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Versus you're kind of driving out west. Now you're kind of like going, wait a minute, I'm going right to Las Vegas. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Right. It does.
You're not just, a ship in the ocean just going, that direction looks good. Let's see what happens. And the wind blows, and boom, we get pulled away one direction. Oh, wait a minute. I forgot about this. The kids got to go here, or I forgot that I got to do this, or I got that errand, then boom, the ship goes off to another direction.
Mm-hmm.
It never stays in nice alignment.
Hmm.
Okay? No. So is it all coming together the last 4 weeks now?
It's starting to.
Mm-hmm.
The more you work at it, the more clear it will become.
Right.
Yep. Okay. So right now, is there any questions? And let me open it up. Is there any questions from the first week on the core values to the balance wheel to the tolerations to now? Because I'm here for you right now.
Okay. No, I'm pretty comfortable with everything I've been reading, and I have to add to my tolerations list. Sometimes I feel like you're very organized and don't have a lot of things that I tolerate.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure if I really, really took an hour and just nothing but focused on that, I bet I could come up with about
more than
I have.
Because I remember doing this exercise when I was asked to. I was like, there's no way. And then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, my goodness, I got beyond 50. Oh, darn.
Oopsie.
And it's just looking at that internal too.
Okay.
Stuff. All right. So homework this week is continue with your meditation, but I want you now to add your vision of yourself living your goal. What do you see and feel? Get emotionally involved with that meditation and vision. And also in that last page of the last chapter. I don't know what page number it is because I've got my actual manual right here. But here you're going to write your goal, as I've talked about. How does this goal benefit you, relate to your core value? So put a connection, and then visualize meeting your goal. What do you look like? What do you feel like? What are you wearing? What are you doing? Be as detailed as possible. Write it down. Visualizing will help you become more comfortable in your new self-image, which will enable you to track it and live it. And I mentioned that once I hadn't seen a friend for a long time. It was probably over a couple years. And she came to visit and the area here, and I saw her, and I asked her, I think she lost over 100 pounds, or right around there. And I asked her what she did differently, and she said she started to visualize herself as a new weight. And how it would feel like. That was one thing she did differently. So you need to start seeing yourself. And that takes effort.
Mm-hmm.
But during your meditations, allow that time. Use that time to use that visualization.
Okay.
And write your goal.
Yeah, I like having those goals written down because that's one thing I have not done.
Okay, can you repeat that? I didn't hear you.
I said that's one thing I haven't done in the past is actually write the goals down.
And scientifically, there is research, and I still haven't found the exact, I don't know if it's really been known what the reason is, but there is a connection between actually writing that goal down with your hand and pen on paper to the brain that makes it achievable. You'll see that people that achieve their goals over and over, they will mention over and over that they wrote it down.
That's what I'm going to do this weekend then.
So write it all out. And what you're going to do then is you're going to email me your goal, and I'm going to give you some feedback on it.
Okay.
Now, are these goals in the certain areas, like one or two or all areas?
Can you repeat that? I didn't quite hear.
Yeah, like, as far as the goals that you want written, are we to be writing them in all areas of our life, like the whole, every aspect, or just one or two that we want?
I would say if there's an overall goal, since this is self-care before sit-ups, I would assume that it would be a lot towards the health, fitness, body. And so use that. You can. I mean, I have my business goals. I have my family goals. I have my personal goals. My health goals, I do. I have about 5-6 goals that I read. I used to read them every day. Not quite as consistent over the years, but when I get in a rut, I pull them right out and I start reading them again.
Okay.
But for purposes of this class, I would have you focus on the health aspect of it, unless that's not your overall vision, but I'm assuming since you signed up for the class that's one of the main goals.
All right, thank
yes,
you.
Does that make sense?
Uh-huh. Yes, it does. I just wanted to double check.
And even in the balance wheel where we wrote, it said to have goals for each section so you know what your 10 is.
Mm-hmm.
You can go back there and make some of these the changes in your goal if you wanted to.
Okay.
That might be a little bit more crystal and clear from today's session. I usually in the past have done this talk at the very last, and I've changed it. I'm moving it right in to the middle. I don't really feel it's a good spot for the beginning because we haven't had a chance to really look within ourselves. In the past 3 weeks, we have.
Mm-hmm.
So now it allows you to become a little bit more clear. And the main thing is really get to your core values and the balance and the clutter. Once you start paying attention, become more aware of it, then you can see the direction you need to go. And then this is a good time to write the goal. All right. So exercise-wise, continue with your interval walking.
Okay.
If it's not challenging, bump it up. You need to be challenging the body. If it's a stroll in the park, it's not. You can do better. Continue your plank work, holding your planks, and then I want you to add one more strength training exercise. And I want it to be a big muscle group. So that would be like a squat, a lunge, a push press, push ups, lat pull downs. These are just examples. But what it is not is bicep curls or tricep extensions or shoulder raises or anything like that that's more small group. I really want us to focus on big group muscles right now.
Okay.
So interval walking, plank work, and then adding one more strength training exercise. So you can go right into plank work into push-ups, or you can go right into plank work to a squats or lunges.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So any questions overall before we complete the class?
I don't think I have any.
No, I think I'm good.
You good? All right.
Alrighty.
Thank you, ladies. You did fantastic. Thank you for sharing. I love that because then I can incorporate and kind of direct you through the talks.
Okay.
So, wonderful. Okay. And you guys have a wonderful weekend.
All right. Thanks, you too.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yep. Bye-bye.